Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Aaron, I'm assuming we're live, and I just barely missed the startup time. Okay, thank you. Out of breath again. So, for those of you who are regular listeners, you know I'm dealing with my irrigation issues. We've got a water district that decided to fine us for using any more than 20% of our previous water allotment. And so we are doing our best here on our property to become water independent, and it is a big project. By the time this is all done, I'll have, probably in the range of $25,000 invested in us becoming water independent. Turning to a much bigger story, returning to it, the statement by Benjamin Netanyahu is absolutely appropriate, that the men who kidnapped and murdered these three teenage boys are animals. And in a way, he used chuach, the Hebrew word that doesn't mean animals in the sense of, my dog's an animal. We're animals. As humans, we're animals. He used the Hebrew word that means beast, the word that is used by Yahweh throughout his Torah, prophets, and Psalms for demonic, savage beast. It's the same word that is used throughout Daniel's prophecy regarding the savage and bestial nature of Babylon, of Persia, of Alexander the Great's conquests, and especially of Rome. All of the carnage, all of the viciousness, all of the deadly nature and savagery associated with the beasts is the term that he used. And that is what Islam turns people into. That's the reason why what we're witnessing in throughout Western and Northern Iraq and throughout all of Syria apart from Damascus is the savagery of ISIS. Well, Muslims are Muslims the world over. It doesn't matter where they are. The only Muslims that can be decent people are lousy Muslims. They can't be a good Muslim. It's impossible to be a good Muslim and to be a good person. And if you are a good Muslim, you're a terrorist. You're a savage beast. That's why I said earlier that if today every fundamentalist Muslim were eradicated, the world would be a vastly better place tomorrow. It's hard to imagine that could be so, but it is. That's the nature of Islam. There is nothing you can do, nothing you can say to a fundamentalist Muslim that's ever going to help them. They are so beguiled, so corrupted, so jaundiced by Muhammad's moronic and deadly and destructive dogma that they have been turned into unthinking killing machines. Now, what I promised when we got back is I was going to share, and I'm sorry again for my interruption with my dictatorial water district here in Central California. But what I was going to share is what Muhammad had to say about Saad, his jihadist, his ruthless militant that had so savagely killed on Muhammad's orders, this savage that had ordered the deaths of 900 Jewish men, the rape of more than 1,000 Jewish women, and the enslavement of many thousands of Jewish children in Yathrib, today's Medina, during the middle of Muhammad's tenure as he was founding the Islamic era, right around 616 CE. Muhammad said that after his man took his own life to relieve the pain associated with a mortal wound that he received while engaged in a terrorist raid, Muhammad said of him that he is now in hell being tortured by Allah. And asked to explain, because the Muslims around there were just dumbfounded, because this guy had been one of Muhammad's most ruthless jihadists, and Muhammad was constantly ordering his followers to be ruthless jihadists, and was using this guy as an example of how to be savage in the name of Islam. They said, how could that be? He was your best fighter. He was your best jihadist. He was your most capable thief. Why would you say that of him? He sacrificed his life based upon your proclamations about Allah and your new religion. And so this man that devoted himself and sacrificed his life to your promises, you now say is being tortured in hell, Muhammad? He said, absolutely. Allah will always torture those who take their own lives. And he said so not because suicide was a problem with Muhammad. He loved killing. It was all because, what by the slim chance that this person could have survived to kill more. And so taking one's own life in Allah's cause, which is killing, is considered unacceptable because Allah wants the jihadist to continue to kill. That's the nature of this religion. This would go on to say that the site where the teenager's body was found was just 10 minutes drive from where the Israelis were last seen. Yeah, that's if you're on no traffic on the highway traveling at 60 miles an hour. It's about 10 miles south. Halul is a turnoff from Route 60, a busy road connecting the southwestern West Bank with Jerusalem. And even calling it the West Bank is silly. And why it's silly is because, yeah, it was part of Jordan there for a while. When this part of Jordan, the Jordanians didn't give the mythical people known as the Palestinians their own state. And it was only part of Jordan because the Muslims had a conniption fit with the Balfour Agreements and would not honor any aspect of it pertaining to Israel, would only honor it as it pertained to them. They said, oh, it's just fine when you give us land, but when you give the Jews land as part of the Balfour Declaration, which would have been most of Jordan, the Muslims had a conniption fit. And so it was part of Jordan, but when it was part of Jordan, the mythical people known as the Palestinian had no autonomy. In fact, these people who call themselves Palestinians have no authority in Jordan today. That's the reason why it's only a matter of time before ISIS arms and equips the so-called Palestinians and Jordan, and that Jordan gets engulfed in the widening jihad that we're witnessing in Syria and Iraq. So when you recognize all of that, the only thing that makes any sense whatsoever is to realize that Islam cannot be tolerated. Israeli officials accused the Islamist movement, Hamas, of killing the young Israelis, and there are now calls for the group to be eradicated. To eradicate the group would make perfect sense. If Israel were to decide tomorrow that every known site, family members included, of Hamas officials were bombed, if Israel did what America shouldn't be doing, which is deploying missiles to kill the fundamentalist Muslims, and America shouldn't be doing it, we don't have a dog in this fight, but Israel does. If Israel were to wipe out all the leaders of the fundamentalist Islamic organization Hamas, just as America has tried to take out some 4,000 Muslims in Pakistan and Yemen and other places around the world, if Israel were to actually do that, and between Syria and Lebanon and Gaza, to rid the world of the top 500 leaders of Hamas, some of which they have in custody, and eradicate the head of this organization, fundamentalist Islam won't go away, but it would at least be a strong message to the world that the world cannot, peaceful people, moral people, can't tolerate this kind of evil in their midst. The group should be eradicated. And, of course, the United States wants Israel to negotiate with them as part of a unified government between the PLO and Hamas. That will never happen. You know, about 9 months ago, and even as recently as 4 months ago, with the United States was trying to impose the Kerry plan, which would have severed Israel at the waist and given almost all of Israel to Hamas. At that time, when Kerry and the Obama administration had turned the whole world against Israel and had gotten the entire world to say that they were going to boycott Israel and isolate Israel if Israel didn't offer most of its land and narrow its country to 5 miles wide where 70% of the people live, the Kerry plan. If they didn't accept that, then Israel was going to be completely isolated from the United States and the rest of the world. That during that time, it looked like the end was within a year, that we would be in World War III, and that the fates that Yahweh has predicted was on our immediate horizon. And it seemed incongruous because Yahweh is not returning until 2033, and that, therefore the tribulation can't begin until the fall of 2026. And so you're looking at it and saying, you know, I really thought the Magog War was going to be early and the tribulations, you know, started sometime maybe in 2027, but we'll never get there. Here it is, 2014. How in the world are we going to get there? And then something like this happens, where the PLO decides they want to form a unity government with Hamas, and Hamas kidnaps three teenage Israeli boys, one American citizen, and murders them in cold blood. And you can say Israel's not going to play with these savages. They can't play with these savages. And so it pushed off the inevitable. It makes it impossible for countries like the United States to bully Israel into submission. The deaths are a tragedy for the families, the Israeli students, but could have deep political implications, the BBC says. The murderers of children and those who direct them cannot be forgiven. Now is the time for action, not words, is what the Israeli minister, a member of Netanyahu's cabinet, wrote on his Facebook page. I agree. The murderers of children and those who direct them, rapists and pedophiles, the legacy of Islam cannot be tolerated. Now is a time for action. I do want to clarify something I said before the break, where I was reading the Israeli minister's comments. Now is a time for action, not words. I agree that it's a time for action. I always think it's a time for words. So I would disagree with the not words. And as what we've talked about on this program, from even before it was syndicated by GCN, is that words are almost always the best weapon to wield against jaundiced schemes, whether they be political, religious, or military. Wield words wisely. Expose the truth so that people can examine the evidence and then make rational, reasonable connections so that people understand what's occurring, and therefore they're prepared, they're equipped to make intelligent decisions. So in the case of Islam, you would wield words to expose the fact that, according to the oldest Islamic source material, Muhammad was a rapist, a pedophile. He was incestuous. That he was a mass-murdering terrorist. He was a ruthless sadist. And to say that there is a 0% possibility that the God who created life in this planet would have used such a perverted man, a man who celebrated death and sexual abuse, to communicate his message. And so you would constantly, without equivocation, demean Islam using your words. That is essential. It's something the Israelis don't do. It's something they should do. And yet they don't do it. So they should always use their words. Now, as it relates to actions, I have a double standard. God is a double standard. So long as my double standard is consistent with God's double standard, then I'm at least going to explain to you why I have a double standard regarding Israel. I have said on this program countless times that America ought to disband its military. It's counterproductive as it relates to Islam. It's counterproductive on everything that it's being used for. It has made bad situations worse. and Vietnam and Afghanistan and Iraq and Somalia, and our military hardware being sold to the world has made the situation infinitely worse in Syria and so many other places around the world, like Libya and all of northern Africa now, that the world would be better off if America no longer had a military. I've said that, and I continue to stand by that. I take the Jeffersonian position on the military, that a standing military is the enemy of freedom. I know this is coming up to this Friday is the 4th of July, and everyone's going to celebrate the men in uniform, and I am going to scream at all attempts to do so. Because the military is making you less safe. It's not making you safer. They're not serving you. They're working against you. And I'm not happy to debate anyone on that, because there is no way to demonstrate otherwise. It's just pure propaganda that so many people have swallowed, drinking the Kool-Aid with the poison so that they continue to fund and endure the military state that America has become. So I don't want America flying drones and killing Muslims. I don't want America invading countries and going to war with Muslims while on one side we provide them with their arms, on the other side we provide arms to eradicate those that we have equipped just across that non-existent border. But I take a different stand when it comes to Israel. They're surrounded by hundreds of millions of Islamic savages, of jihadists, who have been armed with hundreds of billions of dollars of America's weapons. And these Islamic savages attack them every day. And in their case, they need their military. In their case, while they would be vastly better off relying on Yahweh than their military, there isn't even 1 in 100,000 Israelites today that know the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob. Not even 1 in 100,000. There's not 1 in 100,000 that knows how to observe the Torah so that they come to understand the terms and conditions of the covenant. And because there's not 1 in 100,000, Yahweh is not going to intervene for them until the point comes where if Yahweh does not intervene, Promised Land is utterly destroyed, poisoned, and infected with a flood of jihadists. That's going to occur to end the Magog War, the all-Islamic war against Israel that is fought during the tribulation. God himself will intervene to eradicate Islam. But between now and then, since there aren't enough Israelites to rely on Yahweh, Israel is the one nation on earth that actually needs a military to hold the Muslims at bay. And they need to respond militarily to Hamas. We'll be back in a moment. The less than human, savage, the beast, that is the spokesperson for the fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organization Hamas, wrote on his Facebook page, "The occupation bears responsibility for escalation. Netanyahu tries to turn the picture upside down, and he must understand his threats do not terrify us," end quote. Islam is what's upside down. In Islam, killing is good, not bad. In Islam, terrorism is good, not bad. In Islam, rape is good, not bad. In Islam, pedophilia is good, not bad. In Islam, lying is good, not bad. In Islam, the slave trade is good, not bad. In Islam, Satan is God. Everything in Islam is upside down. The entire picture of Islam is upside down. That's why when Muslims are confronted with the truth that is right side up, they see it as upside down because their whole view of the world is upside down. There is no Jewish occupation. There is Muslim occupation. And the last time that there were people that were infected with such a plague were in the Promised Land, Yahweh said, eradicate them. And the reason Yahweh wanted them eradicated is that you can't live in a home filled with pests that are deadly. If you try to move your family into a home and it's filled with rats with the bubonic plague, you are a really lousy father. You are an unloving mother. You, as an individual, moving your home, your children into a home when you know that it is infected with rats have bubonic plague, and if you do not kill those rats before allowing your children to move in, then you are as savage as the disease that will kill your family. And that was Yahweh's view when there were people in the promised land that he had given to Israel that were infecting it. And he says, if you don't eradicate the hosts of that religious disease, that this home will never be safe. And so today, God does and will continue to look at the Muslims that are infected with the most deadly of diseases in Israel as a plague that needs to be removed so that his children can occupy his land, the chosen land, the promised land, just as God has offered it to them. When you turn the tides and you turn everything upside down and you say that his threats do not terrify us, you're speaking to terrorists. U.S. President Barack Hussein Obama, a pocket Muslim, condemned the, quote, senseless act of terror against innocent youth and then urged all parties to refrain from steps that could further destabilize the situation. I despise him. If you're moral, you will despise him, too. If you don't despise, utterly hate the President of the United States, there's something deficient in your morality. For him to say, it's okay, you know, I understand that it's a sad thing when youth is taken, and not associate Islam and Hamas with the kidnapping and senseless murder, because he didn't. He just said, oh, it's sad that the boys are dead, but don't you dare do anything that escalates the situation. Don't you hold them accountable. All the while, the same president is shooting missiles off of drones around the world, killing some 4,000 people. The same guy that escalated the conflict in Iraq and Iran and Syria and Libya. And telling Israel, don't you dare escalate. Don't you dare hold Hamas accountable. What kind of an immoral, perverted view is that? That's America continuing to pretend that it owns the world, that it is the moral voice for the world, that it is in a position to dictate to the world how it ought to respond. So what would happen if that was Obama's daughters and they were killed by the Presbyterian Church? Do you think that Obama would sit back silently and say, you know, we ought not escalate this? I know that I've made a lot of statements that have caused Christians around the world to die. I'm on the wrong side of the Copt Christian Church in Egypt. And a lot of those girls have been raped and have been kidnapped and been murdered because of my stupidity. But I'm not going to escalate this. All is forgiven. I don't care that I'm sad that my daughters are gone, but I'm not going to hold anybody accountable. What do you think the odds are with that happening? And yet that's what he's telling Israel. He is a very disgusting human being. Three of the, as you know, the youths disappeared. One of them actually had his cell phone still with him, and as he was most likely in the trunk of the car, got a phone call out and said, we've been kidnapped. And the Israelis, after having investigated 10,000 different sites and having interrogated countless Hamas members, have come to realize who it was that kidnapped these boys. They know the names, have shown pictures of both individuals. And the reason that they know who they are is they disappeared at that same time, that they were operatives of Hamas in that area, and that the two men, both of whom perpetrated this kidnapping, both of whom had already been convicted and jailed in Israel of committing terrorist acts on behalf of Hamas and Islam. They have a history of doing this very thing. And they were released from prison in one of these prisoner exchanges. And the thanks for that is the kidnap and murder of these three boys. Now, here's Hamas. Sami Abu Zuhri has accused Israel of using the murders as a pretext for aggression. Only the Israeli version of events has been published. Israel is attempting to make way for aggression against us, against the Hamas, Zuri said. We reject all Israeli allegations and threats against us. We have already used it and will know how to defend ourselves. No Palestinian group, Hamas, or any other group has taken responsibility for the action, and thus the Israeli version can't be trusted, end quote. Actually, they know who kidnapped the boys. They know that they're Hamas members. They know that they were previously convicted for similar kinds of atrocities. Actually, two Islamic Palestinian organizations took credit for the kidnapping. Actually, Hamas reveled in the kidnapping, saying it was a glorious service to Allah and to Islam. And actually, it's not the Israeli perspective on what happened that is being promoted in the media, because the media is hugely anti-Israel. Everything the Hamas spokesperson said is untrue. Currently, Israel's aggression against Hamas is because Hamas fired 50 rockets into Israel yesterday. And by the way, Hamas does not know how to defend themselves. Every time there's a conflict between Hamas and Israel, Hamas loses. In fact, the world always intervenes to save Hamas, because if Israel was unfettered in its attack on Hamas, Hamas would cease to exist. That's the truth. The one thing that cannot be trusted in this world is Hamas's story on anything. At one moment, they're taking credit for the kidnappings. At the next moment, they're denying that they had anything to do with it. Israel searched more than 1,000 sites, rounding up Hamas and Islamic Jihad suspects as part of the operations. I met with both when I was in Israel immediately after 9/11. They're savages. They were wholly and completely irrational. Last week, the Israeli security agency identified two Hamas operatives from Hebron as the kidnappers, Amar Muhammad Abu Isha, who's 33 years old, and Marwan al-Qasime, 29, a barber. Both men disappeared from their homes on the night of the kidnapping and have not been seen or heard of since. Benjamin Proper, who was among the civilian volunteers that found the bodies, told to Channel 2 that a member of the search party saw something suspicious on the ground and plants that look out of place, and they moved over to them, and that's when they found the bodies. A spokesperson for Pope Francis, another scumbag of an individual, if you were a Roman Catholic, you ought to have your head examined, in the Vatican condemned the killing of the teenagers as hideous and an unacceptable crime and a grave obstacle towards the path of peace. No, actually, it is a obstacle in the path of capitulation, Pope, and you know it. Your visit and meetings with the so-called Palestinians, all of your lies, all of your antagonism towards Israel, simply motivates the Muslims to be ever more savage. You bear the stain of these deaths on your soul, and so many more. And it isn't an obstacle to peace, because there is no peace. You can never make peace with terrorists like Muslims. It will never happen, has never happened, cannot happen. And so what this is an obstacle towards capitulation. It is a very good thing only in the sense that it reminds Israel that you cannot deal with, you cannot make a deal with, you cannot negotiate with, you cannot expect kidnappers and murderers to honor any agreement. If you give them what they want, they won't honor anything that you want from them. This Pope is a nincompoop. This Pope is playing with half of the deck somehow scrambled and lost and shredded. He is more than 100 bricks shy of a full load. He wants Israel to surrender to the Palestinians. He wants Israel to capitulate. He wants Israel destroyed. And so he sees this as an obstacle to that, when in fact it's only an obstacle to capitulation. It puts the time that the world, including this Pope, will pull the rug under from under Israel and will continue to condemn the promised land and the chosen people. The world is absolutely reprehensible in this regard. We'll be back in a moment. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has called on both sides to refrain from actions that could further escalate this highly tense situation. So the head of the United Nations wants Israel just to sit back, allow Muslims and Hamas in particular to kidnap more of its children and to murder them. No accountability. Now, of course, if it was a Palestinian boy that had been kidnapped by the Israeli government and then murdered by the Israeli government, oh, they would be all hell to pay coming from Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. But because it was just Jews that were killed, we shouldn't let the Jews respond in a way that would hold Hamas accountable. Even after Hamas fired 50 rockets into Israel yesterday, Israel shouldn't respond to take out the launch sites, not according to the United Nations. Now, in the past, Israel has used targeted missile strikes to kill senior members of Hamas when they have targeted Israeli citizens. We'll see if that happens this time. From my perspective, I hope that it does. The Minister of Health in Gaza said that that when the Israeli warplanes tried to bomb the launch sites from which the 50 missiles were shot, that four people were wounded near a police station in central Gaza because they shoot the rockets from civilian settings so that they can incur these kinds of casualties, so that they can tell the world that the Israelis are murderers. Hamas and Islamic Jihad training facilities for terrorists were also targeted. The BBC reporter in Gaza, who is a Muslim, says that Hamas denies firing the 50 rockets. Oh, of course. In Jerusalem, another story says that the Israeli aircraft pounded dozens of targets in Gaza early Tuesday after vowing to extract a heavy price from the Palestinian militant group Hamas, which it accuses of kidnapping and killing three teenagers in the West Bank. Now, of course, that's the Washington Post's headline. It makes it sound like, according to the Washington Post, that the reprisals by the Israelis, in fact, it says it directly, of the warplanes were specifically designed to be a reprisal for the kidnapping of the boys. But they're not. I mean, it's important to understand that Israel has not yet responded to the kidnapping and the murder of the boys. One of the things that occurred during the search for the missing boys is that Palestinian Muslims throughout the region, particularly between Israel and Hebron, got involved in confrontations. The Israelis did what they had to do, which was to try to find the young boys. Muslim youth in the area who don't work, who spend all day festering their specific poison of Islam, decided they would confront the Israeli soldiers, and they threw all manner of rocks on them, but also grenades. They threw improvised fireworks devices with tacks and bolts around them that became an airborne IED. They threw Molotov cocktails at the Israeli Defense Forces as they were searching for the kidnapped victims. And so when the youths began to throw grenades and improvised explosive devices and Molotov cocktails, the Israelis responded. I think two or three Muslim jihadists was killed in that process. Good riddance. If you're going to throw an improvised explosive device or a grenade or a Molotov cocktail at the IDF, I would expect the IDF to shoot to kill. That was your intent after all. Friday noon, the mother of one of the Muslim jihadists that was killed sobbed, you know, the portrait of her, of course, broadcast all over the Islamic world. You know, speaking to her sons, you know, you were again in my dreams. You know, why would you leave me? Well, she was comforted by someone said, well, don't worry. Your children died as an Islamic martyr. They're now in paradise. So the lies of religion continue. They are the greatest plague that humankind has ever endured. And sometime, someplace, somewhere, we're going to have to stand up against it. I'll be back after the news.